now listening to Triples in Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is Admiral James T. Kirk of Federation Starship Enterprise. Your presence here is an act of war. You have 2 minutes to surrender your crew and your vessel, or we will destroy you.
Admiral Kirk, this is your opponent speaking. Do not lecture me on treaty violations, as this broadcast is intended for mature audiences. In the following podcast, there will be thoughts and opinions expressed that in no way reflect your Federation, this station, website, or affiliated partners.
Who is this? How dare you?
Who I am is not important. Listener discretion is.
You Klingon bastard.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Tribbles. Her ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new content and new stuff, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Hello and welcome to episode 172 of Tribbles in Ecstasy. I'm your host, Midnight Shadow, and with me today we have Skipper.
Hello, everyone.
We have Sunseal.
I hate temporal mechanics.
And we have Woody.
Good day, everyone.
So, first of all, a little bit related to what Sunseal said. Tales of War. We had the 9th blog come out, and this was to do with the Iconians.
So where did we get this intercepted transmission from? Honestly. Honestly.
Well, I suppose in a way it's a little bit like a TV series. You see the other side, though our captains wouldn't have.
It's really interesting to see the dialogue between just these two.
Yeah.
These two Iconians, and it shows just how furious T'Keth is after losing an arm.
Yes. Now, we're not going to go into the new episode into details because it only got released yesterday, so we'll give everybody a chance to play it and
we can give one thing away. Wasn't it nice to see the whole Davidian Triolic thing again?
Yes, and I did like the way that was used. And people who haven't played, well, you'll find out what we're talking about. But this Tales of War, it is actually related to what you see in the episode as well. So, go play it, which is actually the next item on the agenda. Which, of course, is the featured episode, which is Time in a Bottle. So, for each week, once again, you've got an extra weekly reward where you can get either a enhanced universal tech upgrade or a captain specialization point, minimum of level 10 to play, and each week you unlock a different reward. This week is a Chronoton split beam rifle. So
guys, did you see what they did? They changed the spec point boxes. They work for level 50s and up now.
Yeah, they have done for a while. All these featured episodes have been 50.
I did not know that. I still thought they were like level 60.
No, that was...
I've been passing them out to my level 60s.
The level 60 was what we were told would be the level requirement for handing in your pearls from last year. Now, whether or not they've changed that requirement to be 50 as well, I'm not too sure about. But, all the ones for the story have all been level 50.
I guess people like me raised enough of a stink.
So, but no, it's good that it is level 50. So it's a lot more accommodating. One of the other things
it is understanding why they probably set it at level 50, because from level 50 through 60, Wells level up, going leveling up to level 60, you also work on the masterization. So it's pretty good that it did something like that.
Now, one of the other things you get as a reward is the new Ferengi dance emote. So I haven't had a check yet. Has anybody had a look to see if this is an account bound unlock?
No, it's not. It's a character unlock.
It is actually a character. Okay.
I noticed that when I went to go back to my Romulan and did the dance thing on Risa, that it wasn't unlocked for her, and it's like, okay, I guess it's a character unlock.
It's a bit like the fan dance, because that's the same, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not like they haven't done it before, and
it's the little dance Nog and Jinzia were doing at Jinzia's bachelorette party.
Yeah, it's the dance that I was hoping we'd get, that I mentioned last week. So, I'm really glad that we've got that. I always felt that was an emote that was missing, so...
Mind you, yesterday, went down to Risa to, just pick up some favours and stuff like that. Run around, do dance, surfboards and all gun hunts, all that sort of lovely things. And I've seen a Gorn doing that dance, and it's like, it looks so funny. It's like seeing a Gorn do it, because, the way they put his hands out to, type of thing, and to like see him with his claws and stuff like that. He's like, it looks pretty good.
I hadn't seen that. Give the new featured episode a play. We will talk about it next week.
There's also a free duty officer reward as well.
Ah, there is, yes. It is a purple.
It is a ground duty officer that spits out gold pressed platinum when you kill enemies.
Yeah. So, it's definitely one way to help get the accolades for gaining gold pressed platinum. Especially the top one, which I am still working my way through to that million. Not sure if I'll ever get there.
Well, we're rooting for you.
Is that what you're talking about, on the Dabo table?
Yeah, I remember I spent ages playing Dabo, trying to get to, I think it was 100,000 for the accolade. I went, yes! And then I saw there's another accolade for a million. It's like, no!
And I was actually pretty lucky. Actually, it was one of those off chances that they ended up winning 100,000 things, or gold press left them on the table. I never got it again.
I don't know if this is a quote-unquote feature of being on Risa, but the Risa table seems to hit Dabos, and especially the bigger, like, multi-Dabos, a lot more than the other tables do.
I think people are just a lot more luckier than I am, because I've never...
Des will listen and change it.
No, I've never had that. I think you're just lucky.
You have to remember this, Risa is kind of like the heart of the Federation. Why would they, Dabo on DS9 was kind of they let Quark get away with cheating the customers. Drazana is kind of in Federation space, but it's a Ferengi owned thing. Risa is completely owned by, the United Federation of Planets. I really think they're going to be a lot more strict on, cheating people out of winnings on a table like that.
Well, I suppose there is a chance that it could be different, but to be honest, that would have required more coding and testing, so I think it's probably just the same chances that you've got on every other Dabo table.
And I'm just a lucky bitch for hitting the 15,000, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't do it once, I did it twice within the span of an hour.
But Woody's the lucky one. He managed to get 100,000, so...
Yeah.
Only the once, and only one character, so I never got it again.
It's once more than the rest of us.
See, we even have people in the chat confirming 100,000 at the Risa Davo table.
I want to win that!
Anyway, getting back to the feature episode, I did really enjoy what Aaron put into the, you know, with his voiceover, really put into this. It's quite a good job.
This is by far my most favourite featured episode that they've released. I really did enjoy it.
I honestly need to go back and play it again, because I think there's one point in the audio where they didn't cut away fast enough.
Yep, I heard that as well. Yeah, I heard that and I thought, I'm going to have to...
Wait, what tab? What tab is this on? Oh, wait, no. None of the tabs that I open have any music or anything. What was that in-game? Did they forget something?
Yeah, I caught that as well. Yeah. I was going to go through it to check it, because I thought, that can't be right, is it?
I heard something about doing like a click sound with his tongue, like type of thing or something like that, I heard.
Oh, no, this is... I can't remember where it is now, but there is a point where
he drops character at the end, because he's at the end of a segment of line, and he drops character and starts speaking normally, and he speaks for like just a brief moment, but
it's literally just that second, isn't it?
It's literally almost breaks everything, because you're like, okay, what tab do I have open now in my browser?
Yeah, and it's just like, no, everything's fine. It's like, what was that? Was that really... It's like, okay, next time I play it, I'm going to have to double check and find out where it is. But yeah, I heard that as well.
Yeah, and even watching the dialogue box of the character, you see his lips move when he did that. Yeah.
Well, I didn't notice any sort of clicking at all.
Something along that nature. It was just right at the end of a dialogue, a voiceover dialogue. It just had this like clicking noise or something along that nature. That didn't seem right.
Uh-oh, somebody's going to be fired.
I don't think so. But no, I'm going to have to listen to that again. But no, it was definitely an enjoyable episode, and literally finished it, and it's just, I must play the next episode. I want to play it now. I just want to, especially sort of hearing the G&T interviews.
That he's supposed to be coming back for the next episode.
Yeah, it's just like knowing that sort of what's happening now has impacts for season 11 and sort of expansion 3. So this is going into sort of like autumn next year.
I'm going to say this again. We're going to wind up getting Super Borg.
But yeah, I so enjoyed this mission. As I said, definitely my favourite of all the featured episodes. So yeah, definitely looking forward to playing it again. My son played it today. I played it yesterday. So, for the moment, as we said, it is level 10. So it will be moved to level 60 in a couple of weeks, once it actually goes into the main journal. And we did, of course, mention interviews with the G&T show. Ceridium from the G&T show actually went up to Cryptic Studios, and there are seven...
On his birthday...
Yep, on his birthday. It was his little birthday treat to himself. So he interviewed seven people, and there's a good few hours worth of interviews and information. So go to gantshow.com and you can have a look at all the supplemental interviews from there. So, and... thank you for reporting the problem with the Al interview. I've now fixed that, son.
Okay. I caught it and I went, wait, what? And I literally rewound the interview a little bit and listened again and went, Witch.
Yes, I had not tribbled out one of the swear words.
So, it was something that kind of caught me off guard, because you know I'm used to hearing the little tribbles for swear words, and just hearing Al get so frustrated, and then just hearing the curse word come right out, and it's like, I literally the words that came out of my mouth were witch.
Yeah, I just got a message from Mike Ceridium earlier, just saying, what was it? Oopsie, I was informed that you missed an F bomb that Al dropped. So, and then in the G&T officer chat, he'd put 50 lashes for Steve.
Oh, I said, well, you know what? We really need to get you your own bubble. You know, you can bounce around from project to project and not have to worry about anything else because you're in a bubble.
But no, definitely give it a listen too. It's got lots of information about the devs. A lot of them, sort of, they're asked about things that are coming up, and a lot of them can't say, but there are some hints of some things. So, yep.
And now you know exactly how many people are working at Cryptic.
It wasn't everybody. That was just a small selection of them.
I know, but Cryptic's a small company. You know, 7 or 8 interviews. That's, you know, that's literally the whole company.
But yeah, going back to the release notes. The House of Peg has now been put into the Iconian War episode journal, so that is now level 60 and has now made way for the new featured episode that we've just talked about. Summer event, they've adjusted some of the stats for the Targ hoverboard.
I find this one interesting though. This is, I mean, last year nobody seemed to have a problem with paying like the 1500 favors when it was kind of this big huge grind fest to get those 1500 favors to buy one of those, you know, Federation, Romulan, or KDF power boards, like the superior boards. And now that there's a new one, and because the new one had mixed up stats, there was like this whole thing about why can't the ones that cost 1500 actually be better? It's like, really? Really? You have this problem? And now that because they have adjusted it so that those ones are better, the people who went out of their way to not buy those better ones and went and bought the Live Long and Prosper at 1000 feel kind of cheated out because it's not included because it's not a 1500, it's only 1000.
Well, they're never going to fail to please absolutely everybody. But it's nice that if you have gone that extra mile to sort of get the extra expensive ones, then you do actually get that little bit extra. But the thing is, sort of, I've got the Targ board and I've still got people beating me who are on the 1000 ones, and so... So yeah, it doesn't make a huge difference, to be honest.
Well, yeah, well, I'm going around pretty much with the Federation and Klingon and the Romulan board from last year, and I've been getting second place quite a lot of times, and the person who beats me is not even going around on a hog bar. And if, when it first came out, they were. But since it's been readjusted and not so fast,
well, no, they actually went. They went back this Thursday and readjusted it. So all of the United Federation, the Romulan, the Targ Hog, and the Klingon board all have 65 speed and a 150 turn radius. So they are what the Hog used to be.
Okay. you can get the latest bit of technology and stuff like that, but it's, you know, for kids, it's how you use it. It makes a difference. It's pretty much the same with your ship. You can easily go out and get all the latest gear and stuff like that, but if, you know, you don't know how to use it, it's not really worth it.
The biggest thing for me, though, is the finishing line still. It doesn't matter whether I'm actually in front, because chances are that I will end up going past the flag, or somebody's quicker to hit the F key than I am. So, and then by the time I turn around to look for seconds, that then goes by somebody else and go for third, and somebody else gets it. So I can end up missing first, second, and third, all because I'm having to press F at the key.
And then chase the damn flag.
Yeah.
Because somebody will pick up the second place flag, and then the third flag will be in different locations every time. And it's like, if you're going to pick a spot and sit there. Don't change. Because, you know, that confuses the hell out of people who are already at the finish line rushing to get third place.
Thing is, whether or not that's to do with location and making sure people can't double claim or something, I'm not sure, which is actually a bug at the moment. Some people have actually been able to claim two or three times at a flag now. They'll probably be fixing that fairly soon.
Well, it's a bit like what I said a couple of weeks ago. There's been podcasts and people saying please change it for years now, both for the winter event and summer event. Yeah, we're going to probably keep on saying it until they change it. Yeah, because 6 months down the track, we're going to have the winter event. And if they haven't changed it, you know what we're going to be talking about.
But as I've said before, they could use it for so many different things if they can get that tech to work properly to register. Is even if they used it, you know, in the Federation Academy, you actually race Alyssa. You actually get maybe an accolade or something for beating her. I don't know. Or she gives you like 10 energy credits. they could do something fun like that.
Well, it's not even that. There's kind of this thing in the winter event where you solo race against AI. And you don't ever have to pick up a flag at the end of that race. You just cross the finish line. And it's like, well, you know, if you did that, couldn't you possibly? I mean, and I know it has to deal with bounding boxes, but couldn't you actually code the bounding boxes to say once a person has achieved the first bounding box, which means they've gotten first place, the other two bounding boxes are locked out. So the next person that comes along and gets a second bounding box is then locked out of the third place. And the third person can actually come up and pick up the third bounding box.
Well, fingers crossed that they can do something about it, because yeah, I just find it frustrating. It's the one thing that sort of ruins it for me, to be honest, is there are a lot of times that I'll do the race and I'll mess up on a corner or a jump or something. But
oh,
when I've done a really good race and I'm so close to actually getting sort of first place or even second place, and then to just lose it because I'm not being able to hit the precise location of the flag or hit F fast enough is...
Oh, my problem is worse than that. When you come around the final corner, there's those two ramps that's in between the big huge rock. If you don't hit either of those ramps or that rock just right, you will literally be stopped dead, squished in between one of the ramps and the rock, and you can't move unless you turn around and start going the other way to get out.
Yeah, well, I also had a problem yesterday that completed the race, got to second place flag, but I couldn't, there's no pop-up for me to hit F on. Went to third, couldn't do it. Went to final, and I still couldn't do it. And I literally waited until there was like 30 seconds on the clock for the race remaining, and then the clock disappeared. So I equipped my hoverboard, and it goes, "You've equipped your hoverboard, your floater, You've equipped your floater, and you've now failed. And I'm thinking, well, it's not like I could have actually accepted it in the first place, because it all disappeared, including the flag. It's like, So.
What I find is sometimes, you know how you got those banners as you go along, you hear the thing that it triggers, the little signal it makes? And as you find what happens there is you might have missed a certain trigger as you go along. And if you miss a trigger, you have to quickly race on back, get it, then finish the race. Now, I found that out last year, that if you miss the trigger way as you go along, like hit a corner a little bit too finely and miss the trigger altogether type of thing.
Yeah, I had a problem with triggers with the featured episode yesterday. One of my bridge officers had died, and it's when you're going to one of the locations, I'm not going to say what because I don't want to ruin it for people, but I'd actually gone a different way than the direction they said, I ended up having to go back the way and revive him just so I could continue, because I'm thinking, why can't I speak to this person? I thought that's probably why. But so yeah, if you're doing the featured episode and you've got a bridge officer that's down and you can't talk to a certain person, then go back and revive them and you will be able to, because you need them all alive in order to continue. There are various other things in the patch notes to do with bikini tops. They've also changed that the mark packages earned by the monkeys and tropical birds and epos no longer grant additional marks during the bonus mark events.
at least we got a last hurrah out of them, right? You know.
Well, I'm sure that they'd done that for the winter event. They'd already changed that, but whether or not they just changed it that it was epos only. And they hadn't done it for monkeys and tropical birds, because I'm sure I've seen that in the patch notes previously a long time ago. And I'm sure it was for the winter event. I might be mistaken. So I was already under the impression that was the case anyway.
I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say we had a bonus event thing last year during the summer event.
I honestly can't remember. But now, the next one, we won't be able to, anyway, so.
Like I said, at least we got one last hurrah in before they took it away, right?
Oh, well, definitely. I must admit, I hadn't been paying attention.
I'm this much closer to actually finishing my Romulan set.
So, they've also done some fixes that relate to some of the hangar pets as well. And resolved an issue preventing the icon tooltip from emitter synergy from showing up in the mastery UI for the Scryer Intel Science Vessel. So yeah, they've fixed quite a few things. Now, people who use the forums, you will have noticed that for the last few days, you may not have been able to get in.
Rage! Go to the forums and rage! Oh, wait, there's no forums.
See, so, what happens when you do be negative on the forums? You don't have any forums.
Now, the forums are open again for posting, but it's still going through some migration, so they're still setting stuff up and getting things working as intended.
I really hope they're going to finish tweaking. Because when you scroll down, when you're reading a thread and you scroll down to the bottom of the page and there's no next page button.
Oh, yeah, because it's all at the top, isn't it?
Scroll all the way back up to the top to click page 2.
Well, you can always just hit the home key on your keyboard and it'll go straight to the top. So.
Why? Why do you have to hand people this information? My rage is justified, damn it!
But, yeah, Laughing Trendy's been working really hard to get everything working as it should be. So hopefully by the end of next week, that will be everything running properly. So if you can just bear with her, she'll get it all sorted as soon as she can. But yeah, if you can't leave feedback on the forums, then you can always tweet her. So there is another way you can get hold of her. So, but yeah, please just bear with her and try and be patient. These things do take time, and it hasn't. She's not just migrating Star Trek Online. There's been a whole heap of other games that have been migrated across at the same time. So,
patience. You're asking the people who use the forums to be patient.
You can always ask. May not always happen, but. Now. Next up, Will Wheaton has actually given a shout out to Star Trek Online. He was actually interviewing Bill Shatner. They were doing something that I hadn't heard about before, which was brown bag wine testing. So during their just general discussion, he had actually, they were just talking about computer games. And one of the examples Will Wheaton gave was of actually Star Trek Online. So it was nice to sort of hear a shout out. So for those in the Twitch stream, I'm putting a link to the tweet from the Star Trek Online Twitter account. And we will include that in the show notes. So it's only a few minutes long. Yep, go have a watch and listen, but yeah, it's nice to get a shout out, especially as he has a sort of huge following as well.
I guess all that pent up hate that everybody had turned into adoration as he grew up and became hot.
I never had a problem with Wesley personally.
Well, if you look at him now, he has kind of grown a Riker beard.
It's a bit more thicker than that now.
Yeah. Now on to some Star Trek news. The last couple of weeks we've been reporting on the status of Nichelle Nichols after her stroke. As we mentioned last week, that she was back at home. Now she actually had an interview with E.T., not the alien. I believe that's Entertainment Tonight, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been 2 weeks since the stroke, but she says that she's feeling fine and doing great. So, yep, there'll be, again, the link to that. There's a little video. The interviews is literally only just over a minute and a half long. But she seems in good spirits. She says that there seems to so far be no long-term effects from her stroke, which is really, really good. So I'm really happy for her. And so hopefully she'll be doing as she wanted to, which was be going out to the other conventions that she'd got planned. I think it's the end of July, I think we said it was. Or it might have been the end of June. So yeah, our thoughts go out to her, and hopefully she'll be back to 100% soon.
I hope so. I don't think I can stand any more people dying this week.
Yeah. Captain Pike, now their Indiegogo is still going. They have just under 3 weeks left as of this podcast. They have also announced that they have a new member to the team, which is Walter E. Jones, who's appeared in The Shield and Power Rangers. So he will be appearing in there as Captain Sean Devon of the USS Exeter. And if you want to know more about Captain Pike, we did interview them in episode 169. So if you haven't heard that, you can go back and take a listen. Last week, I talked briefly about Blade of Honor. This isn't a Star Trek film, but it is starring Tim Russ, who plays Tuvok, for anyone who wasn't aware. It's also part of the art crew is Adrienne Grady, who's a friend of the show. Now, their Kickstarter is still to come. I don't have any dates on that, but they do have a new website, which is bladeofhonor.tv. So go check it out. And also, if you go to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Blade of Honor series, there is actually a YouTube video there, which is a little trailer for it. Now, I couldn't find that trailer on their website, but hopefully they will actually display it. But Brandon Stacey, who's appearing in there, looks very much like Zachary Quinto there. So, yeah, take a look.
Yeah, I've seen a photo of the for Brandon, because he's also appeared in a couple of the New Voyages Phase 2 episodes that's been released there. So almost a stunt double.
On the topic of Star Trek New Voyages Phase 2, their Kickstarter has just over a week left. If you would like that production to do better, they're still working to reach their first stretch goal, because they have met their target, as we mentioned in last week's show. If you missed it, we did interview some people from the team of New Voyages. So there's still about $20,000 that they're looking to raise to reach their first stretch goal. So, the links to their Kickstarter will be in our show notes, or you can just search for Star Trek New Voyages Phase 2 from Kickstarter.com. Next is another Kickstarter for The Love of Spock. We have mentioned that a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. This is the documentary film by Adam Nimoy. Now he's looking to finish the project that he and his dad started. Now there's 12 days remaining, and there's still $245,000 still to raise. There was actually Bill Shatner. He had been supporting this project by tweeting out the information for it and personally responding to people who were replying back to him regarding this, saying that they had supported it. So, if you want to know more about this project, then again, just search for Love of Spock, and you can get all your information from the Kickstarter page. We still have some more Star Trek projects to come. Star Trek Anthology, who we interviewed in episode 159. They've recently been sending out messages that new cast have been announced. So you've got Grace Roberts. That role is in the episode Mother, which will be played by Wendy Macara. You've got Wayne W. Johnson, who will appear in the pilot. You've got Chrissy Dura, who will be joining Starship Challenger. She'll be the Chief Science Officer. Lieutenant Commander Jan Webb. Pete Dahara assumes the role of Commander Taggart in Starship Challenger. Joining the Roberts family will be Ursa Maru, who is Pat Evans. So they'll be playing Deke Gramps Roberts in the Mother episode. Taking command of Ursa Maru will be Paul R. Cyber, who will be playing Max Roberts. And Brian Bean will be playing Gary Seven. So, yeah, they've announced quite a few people. So things are obviously moving along there. If you want to know more about the project, as I said, you can always listen to episode 159. Or you can go to StarTrekAnthology.com or go to Facebook.com www.tripleswitch.com/Star Trek Anthology, and you can find out all the information there. Captain Worf. Michael Dorn is back to promoting, trying to get his project going. And he's actually done an interview with KitchenOverlord.com. I will just post that link into the chat. It's only a couple of minutes long, but Michael Dorn says that there's still a sort of interest in the project, but he's just trying to get the right sort of interest, which will help fund the project. I think he said in the interview that he needs about $3 million to get the pilot done.
I think it's absolutely hilarious that he did an interview with Kitchen Overlord and their recipe was Worf's spiced prune mini muffins.
So yeah, he's looking for people to help support. I think that some people are actually asking people to send prune mini muffins to Paramount and CBS, I think it was.
You ever have one of those days, Michael Dorn, where you wake up and you look at CBS and CBS looks back at you just like Jean-Luc Picard and says, no. Yeah. You're going to have to raise that whole $3 million just for them to go, okay, maybe. And then they'll transfer you to Deep Space Nine.
But, yeah, from what I've seen, it's supposed to be set between him leaving Deep Space Nine and Star Trek Nemesis. So yeah, and it's about Klingons and Federation actually serving together. So, yeah, I wish him luck. And you never know.
I have to go back and watch that now, because wasn't he piloting the Defiant in one of those movies?
Yes, he was. And he got picked. That was First Contact he was in. And then he gets picked up by the Enterprise.
How many Defiants has Deep Space Nine gone through now?
Well, the Defiant wasn't destroyed. It was just disabled.
It's a tough little ship. Remember that. Tough little ship.
What do you mean, little?
Exactly.
So go take a listen to the interview. Lastly, Star Trek Axanar. Their production log number 4 is now out on YouTube. So I haven't actually had a chance to listen to those myself, but links again will be in our show notes, and I will actually go and just put that into the chat as well. So I will also link into the show notes the playlist, so if you haven't heard any of them, then we'll include the link to the playlist so you can actually listen to all of them together. Now, we've also had some extra feedback regarding last week's show.
We're on a roll for feedback, are we not?
We are indeed.
Guys, I kind of feel like a legitimate show now. We have feedback.
Even though I don't want that sort of feedback terribly much.
Well, I shall read it out. It says, "Hey gang, I listened to the latest episode and enjoyed hearing about Star Trek New Voyages. Thanks. What has moved me to write in this letter you received from the person upset about Woody's beliefs? Now, I'm a straight white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and I'm old enough to remember the term when the term gay was mostly used to mean somebody was light-hearted and carefree. Thankfully, I spent 22 years in the Navy, and in doing so, learned first that there are many, many beliefs and opinions, and even more flavours thereof, many of which you won't agree with and can even be outright offended by. I learned over time that if all of you can just see the person and ignore the rest, you can work together and get jobs done. With luck, you become friends, or at the very least, earn each other's respect. I don't care what you are, because in the end, you are no better than me, and I am no better than you, really. Unfortunately, we have this whole tribal prejudice thing going on in our DNA. Bye." The writer's attitude tightened my jaw, because throwing the baby out of the bathwater, I'm not going to listen to your podcast anymore, huff huff, is what gets in the way of compromise and understanding and resolution. Woody's story in the context of his whole mess brought me to tears because this so clearly demonstrates that you cannot know another person's environmental influences and motivations without taking the time to get to know them. And until you do, being automatically offended and tuning them out is just the wrong way to go about things. Hurt can go both ways, you know. As for Sunseal, I'm sure I butchered her name, sorry. But you almost spelt it right.
You did fine. All you forgot was the H. There's an H before the L.
Yeah. I've not really minded her rants. What does irritate me is when she gets excited about a subject and she cuts off other hosts and tends to not hear them when they try and interject something. I know it's not intentional, but it smacks of rudeness. Oh, and anyone can throw out a bunch of predictions, and over time, a few of them will pass. I think you have a great show, and I hope to be listening to many more episodes. Regards, Eric. Well, thank you very much for your feedback. Did you guys want to say anything about the feedback at all?
You take it first this time, Woody.
Okay. Yeah, he does speak some truth there, where it's one thing I've really noticed from... gay and lesbian community, it almost seems like they go into their shell a little bit too much and not be part of the community in some ways. Like, like he says, you might not believe in what they their standings and stuff like that. But, you still have to work and get along with each other. Work with these people and whatnot. It's one thing I'd like to say, especially to the people who come to the fleet, is, make sure you have the friendship first before anything else. And he pretty much hit it in the nail in the head there. People just got to realize, regardless if you're Christian or, various different religious backgrounds, from between Christian to Muslim to Hindu to atheists and whatnot, they're all going to have their different views. Just even in the political scene, USA political scene is pretty rampant at the moment. It's very much left wing and right wing, but they've probably just got to realize that they've got to work together for the better good, for what's good for the country, and not create this us and them. It's pretty much the same with the heterosexuals to the homosexuals. You're going to be living as neighbours beside each other, going to be working the same job, as co-workers and stuff like that. And you can't just sit there and say, well, I don't want to work with this person because he doesn't believe in homosexuality. If that sort of thing is going to be going around, nothing's going to get done. So it's sort of like you've probably just got to realise that you don't want to just leave it and come out when the gay pride march is about, then go back into your shell. You pretty much need to get out and be a bit more part of the community, and such. So in hindsight, you look at what I'm a Christian, we've got an atheist, we've got other beliefs here, left, right and centre with this podcast, but we all get along fine, and hopefully we can still be together years to come. Hopefully we'll be there till the end, wherever that will be. Just saying that, just going to, like what the letter we had two weeks ago, just blatantly going out and saying that, quite honestly, he's probably just going to be isolating himself with his views if he's going to be, treat everyone ugly way he treated me. So yeah, I certainly certainly pass on my thanks to what's his name? To Eric for, you know, writing this letter. Yeah, certainly say thanks, mate. There, so.
What about you, Skipper?
I think it shows he has tolerance and understand.
Sunseal?
Well, honestly, what he says, it makes a lot of sense. There's extremism on all sides. You know, even within the LGBT community, there are the people who are the extreme of, hey, look, homophobes, let's go throw rainbows in their face until they get comfortable with us. And then there's the other side that goes, look, homophobes, attack! And that's kind of what the first piece of feedback felt like, was the latter of those examples. And, you know, look, guys, I mean, honestly, if you are, and I understand that words can hurt. I mean, words definitely can hurt. But when a word is so common, you have to understand the context in which it's coming from. And when somebody says choice, and you immediately associate it with, you know, being gay is a choice, you're cutting off having a dialogue for hurt feelings and wanting to go on an offensive. And that's a terrible standpoint to be in, or to even start at. So, you know, good on Eric for being the, you know, another side of this argument for just sanity in all of this. But also, when we do this podcast, silence is not necessarily a good thing in a podcast. So when we go through our podcast, silence is usually taken as, okay, let's get on to the next thing. So if I do interrupt Midnight and Woody like I do, I don't mean it to be rude. I mean to say, hey, I have a point that I want to bring up about this before we move on, because if I stay silent, then we won't get to what I would like to say. We just move on to the next issue.
We've also had a couple of comments in the chat. Luke Quitter says, applause, could not agree more. That was relating to the feedback from Eric. And Oracle Side by Eye said, well said, mates. So thank you all for your feedback. We always welcome feedback. I know we don't tend to get much. But if there's anything you ever want to say to us regarding the game, Star Trek, or what we've said or even not said, please just send us an email or tweet or Facebook post, and we shall read it out and discuss it on air.
Well, guys, we honestly, I mean, even if it is kind of this taboo-ish feedback, just sending us feedback lets us know that people are actually listening, and it kind of makes this whole endeavor all worthwhile to all of us. So please, don't stop sending us feedback.
And as we've shown, sort of whether it's a taboo subject or not, we will read out the feedback that you give. So, okay. Woody, do you have a family mission?
Indeed I do. It's called Rise of the Factions, Act 1 by Clitimp Estra. I say I stuffed that up, but it you can pick it up when you go to Drazana system. It's one of the system spotlighted missions there. And it's got Act 2 there up to, I believe. He pretty much set that up straight away when you first enter this particular mission. Start playing this mission. It is a role playing tabletop role playing system, the way you design this particular foundry mission. So it's sort of like if you're acting in a movie or television studio, and the scene is set around being in TOS. So if you really want to get into the act, you could easily go throw on your TOS costume. So, and it's sort of like got a narration director that guides you through playing this mission. It's it is very like plain and simple in a way of like a storyline, but it is a very good story behind it. And I think he's got like three acts with this, or three foundry missions that all relate to each other, or you know, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. So it is a very good mission. It does have some shooting involved with it, so and whatnot, and it is a very good mission if you want to give something to play there when you pull up a Drazana to start the latest feature episode from. If you want to play that before you actually play the feature episode, because you end up landing, when you finish, you end up landing in the Delta Quadrant. Definitely give it a try. So it's called Rise of the Factions Act 1 by Clyde Temp Estra. K-L-G L-Y-T-E-M-P N-E-S-T-R-A, I think spelt it. So give it a try.
Okay, excellent. Well, that's it for this week. So we will be back next Friday as usual, live at 7 p.m. Eastern. So please come and join us live and join into the chat. We'd love to have you join the conversation. So until next week, goodbye everyone.
Later.
Ciao, long
bye.
Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles in XTC, or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to tribblesinextasy@gmail.com. Join us next week for another episode of Tribbles in Ecstasy, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.